The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to worship with us on this third Sunday of Epiphany. If you are new here or checking us out, you are very welcome, as are all our regular viewers. If you wish to contact us at the end of the service, shoot over to our website, and on the homepage you'll find the Let's Connect form, and we would love to hear from you. If you have a candle at home for worship, please light it as I light the Christ candle here in remembrance that the light has come and stays. Let's join in the following responsive litany as we enter into this time of worship. We come here with grateful hearts that it is not we who chose Christ, but Christ who chose us. That we are not here because of our goodness, but because of Christ's grace. That we are not here to enlighten ourselves, but to allow Christ to enlighten us. That we have not come to be entertained, but to worship God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Please take a few moments now to still your heart and mind before God. Would you pray the prayer of confession with me? God, you call us, and sometimes we duck under the table hoping you didn't notice us when you walked into the room. You call us, and sometimes we grab a stapler and a stack of papers. We try to look too busy to be bothered at the moment. You call us, and sometimes we just say no. We know that we aren't expected to do everything, but we often forget that you call us to be ourselves in the places where our very self is what is most needed. So give us the grace to say yes to your call, even now, as we offer our confessions to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The good news is that Jesus has come to heal our souls and our spirits. The old enemies of fear and apathy have been cast out, and we have been given life in Jesus' name. So, friends, receive this life, receive the love, receive the forgiveness that God has for you today. Amen.
Today's scripture is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. repent and believe in the gospel. And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
As Foster told us last Sunday, this week we have another story of Jesus calling people to follow him and to become his first disciples. Last week we heard the story of Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael from John's Gospel. And today we shift back to Mark's Gospel and we hear about Jesus calling two sets of brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and John and James, the sons of Zebedee. All four men were fishermen, and Jesus quite literally called all of them from their work. As Foster pointed out to us, the stories from John's Gospel are told in a bit of a different way than they are in the other three Gospels. And we certainly get a sense of this difference as we compare last week's call story with this week's. Not just in terms of the characters involved, but also in terms of the emphasis each writer chose to put on different parts of the story. Where last week seemed to freely focus on the dialogue between Jesus and particularly Nathanael, today's reading is all action. There isn't really any dialogue back and forth, just Jesus' call, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." In Mark's stories, Jesus and his disciples don't seem to have a lot of time for talk or time to slow down or dilly-dally. Jesus calls and immediately the men follow, without delay in both cases. This action and this urgency that is characteristic of Mark, it makes sense when you consider that Mark was probably a fairly young man when he wrote his gospel. We can imagine him, a young buck full of passion and energy and eager for the action. So, in Mark's distinctive style, this passage is pretty brief and fairly straightforward. It begins with Jesus announcing his mission of the kingdom, the wonderful, full, and free life we find with God, a life that Jesus will lead us to if we will trust him and follow him towards it. The reading then moves on after that pronouncement to a new scene in which Jesus is walking on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He comes upon Simon, the disciple that we will later come to know as Peter, and hit Simon's brother Andrew. And we were told that they were fishing from the shore. Mark seems to indicate that Jesus doesn't waste any time with conversation. He just walks up to them and calls them then and there. "Come, follow me." And according to Mark, they dropped everything immediately and followed him. Immediately. No time to waste. Well, Jesus walks a little further along and he comes across the second set of fishermen brothers, James and John, who are actually getting ready to go out in their boat to work. And again, in his characteristic way, Mark tells us that immediately Jesus called them. And they left their father Zebedee and their boat with the hired men and followed him. You can see what I'm talking about here, can't you? This fast-moving Jesus calling people who themselves are quick to follow. Nothing, Nothing is getting in the way of Jesus' work. Well, that is really what distinguishes Mark's telling of these calls. How quickly both sets of men respond and follow, to the point that it can even sound a bit strange and unbelievable to our ears. Remember that this is right near the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Are we really expected to believe that this stranger comes along and calls four grown men to drop their jobs and follow him, and they did? Apparently, according to Mark, with no questions asked. Well, not quite. Both Luke and John, in their accounts of the disciples being called and of Jesus' life, they seem to indicate that Jesus had actually been around for a while before this, preaching, healing, even driving out demons. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, John the Baptist certainly knew about Jesus, and he'd told his followers about him. So it was likely that these men may have heard something about Jesus before this day. He may very well have been the proverbial talk of the town in that part of Galilee at this point. But even so, it's one thing to have heard about the new rabbi in town. It's entirely another to drop your work, abandon your father and your employees and all of your equipment, and just follow him. Whether they'd known him before this point or not, Mark clearly shows us just how dramatically Jesus' call can disrupt and completely change our lives. Calls have a way of doing this, whether it's the call to change something major like our work or where we live, or the call to shift something about the way we're living, or even just a call to shift our plans for the next hour. Mark wants us to be clear from the very outset of his gospel that Jesus calls us. It is his way. Jesus is the light of the world, and as Foster said so beautifully last week, he is a light that doesn't just illumine. He is also a light who summons, who calls. Calls are part of this life of following Christ for all of us. And today's reading reminds us not to be surprised if Jesus' call causes some level of disruption in our lives, whatever the call may be. Now, it's interesting to me that the people who put the lectionary together chose to include those first two verses in this reading for today. Remember, the whole thing started by telling us that after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Mark thought that it was important for us to hear this pronouncement before we move on to hear the stories of how Jesus called those four fishermen from their work on the shores of Galilee. Now, at first, we might think that these two parts are unrelated. However, our lectionary writers perceptively, in my opinion, saw that they weren't. Jesus proclaimed, "The kingdom of God has come near." And then he called people to repent and to believe the good news. Repent, that's another one of those words that is loaded with baggage for some of us. But in truth, it just means to change one's mind. As in changing our minds away from one focus towards another. In this case, towards God and towards God's kingdom. And believe, well, believe simply means to trust what Jesus is saying, that in him, God's kingdom has come. And so when he says, repent and believe, He's actually issuing his first call to us, to all of us. The call to turn our minds and our lives away from what we have been pursuing, towards the kingdom life he offers us, and to trust him to lead us towards that life. So we see from the very beginning that from the very first call he makes to each of us, Jesus' calls disrupt our lives in some way. And you know, sometimes I think it's actually the disruption that we resist the most. Now, as we know, Jesus' call can take all sorts of forms. Some seem huge, like the kind of calls we've heard about in our reading today, the call to leave your job and take up a whole new vocation. Calls like that are certainly disruptive. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. There's no question. However, not all calls, in fact, I would say most calls, are not that dramatic. The reality is that God is often calling us, inviting us to turn towards him and towards his kingdom, to join in his kingdom work in all manner of ways. I've talked with some people this week who have had a sense that God is calling them to return to regular daily times of prayer right now. They're hearing a call and they're following its leading. I've also heard some stories of some people who have been making phone calls that they realized once they were made were incredibly timely, more timely than they could have anticipated. These are real examples of people hearing or sensing God's call and following. And they remind us that every call, no matter how dramatic, it's an opportunity to follow Jesus, to join in his work of bringing life. And as we've heard, every call usually involves some level of disruption to our lives, even if that disruption just means changing what you were planning on doing for the next half hour. So the question for us is, are we prepared? Am I prepared to be disrupted? To stop whatever we are doing, whether it's just for the next hour or for the rest of the day or for the foreseeable future, are we prepared to turn towards Jesus' call and follow? One of my professors from theological school retired a couple of years ago. He is a lovely man. With a sharp mind and an incredible ability to engage and challenge his students to grow, but not just to grow intellectually, but also, and even more importantly, he challenged us to each grow in our own likeness to Christ. He brought many gifts to the church throughout his academic career, and I have to be honest, when I heard that he was retiring, I was a bit sad and disappointed. However, true to his character, he announced that when he retired from the faculty at Cary, he was moving on. Moving on, he said, to become a kingdom servant at large. He said that was his next vocation, his next call. He wasn't sure exactly what the details would be and what would be next for him, but he was prepared to listen for Jesus' call and to follow wherever or to whomever it led. His retirement from full-time teaching meant that he was now free to do that. And so he was willing to let Jesus disrupt his life even in the midst of his retirement. And I've been watching how he's been doing that over these last couple of years. Some of the things he's been doing are more dramatic than others, but all of them seem like ways that he is engaging in God's kingdom work in this world. And his example is a challenge for all of us who know him, to be willing to do the same, to let Jesus disrupt our plans, our lives. And so I guess today, as we think about how Jesus calls us, I want to share that challenge with you. How might God be calling you to be a kingdom servant at large today? How might you be called to be loving God or loving your neighbors, whether they're neighbors near or neighbors far, or loving God's creation more fully? Friends, may God bless you as you listen for his call to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The prayers today are centered upon the three themes of Advent: hope, peace, love, and joy. You will remember the Christmas decorations up here during Advent at Christmas time. And there was some signage with those four themes shown. Now, I realize Christmas has passed. Indeed, the Christ child has been born again. And we now proclaim Emmanuel, God is with us. Yet these themes are such key messages from God. We're encouraged to hold fast to these directions. And they apply as much today as they did hundreds, even thousands of years ago. So let's pray through hope, peace, love, and joy. Lord God of hope, we praise you. You are awesome. All around us, you offer glimpses of your kingdom in the beauty of where we live and in the kindness of those with whom we cross paths. You bring us hope of renewal, and especially when we are deep into despair. You give us hope for tomorrow so we can carry on even when we are tired and empty. Help us to share the hope which comes from you. Lord God of peace, we pray for all those who lead the nations of this world. Bring peace where there is strife. Bring peace where there is bitterness, division, and anger. Help us heal our wounds and feel your peace flow through us. Thank you for holding us in your palm, for providing calm when we are uncertain and anxious. And Lord God of peace, help us to become agents of your peace. Show each of us how we can model peace and understanding in our community. Lord God of love, thank you for caring for us so enthusiastically. Continue to open our hearts to the suffering and needs of others. We pray for all those who are sick or grieving and unable to attend to family who are ill or dying. We pray for a permanent solution, for a shelter for those without a roof to sleep under, without heat, without a reliable source of food. Lord God of love, give us hearts of love for those we encounter in our community and those who suffer around the world. Help us to displace hatred with kindness and love. Lord God of joy, how we welcome the opportunity to dance again, to hug, to hold, to sing. Continue to show us how to see joy and to embrace it. Fill us with joy for all the gifts you give us daily. The small things, the big things, the immense things. Show us how to share joy despite this nasty virus, which seems to dominate so much of our lives. Please join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Today we have been thinking about the ways that God calls us to participate in the work he is doing, bringing his kingdom to this world. And one of the ways that God calls us to do that is through our gifts. You have answered that call once again this week, and we thank you for that. And I ask if you would now join me as we pray to dedicate those gifts to God's kingdom work. Generous God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us what it means to love. And you call us to follow your example, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Continue to write your law of love on our hearts. Give us an unwavering passion for justice and a tenacious faith that will not rest until the hungry are fed, the oppressed find relief, and the outsider finds a welcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two announcements for you this morning before we go. The first is a reminder that we are taking signups for people who are interested in participating in our online study that starts in February. It's called In the Meantime, and you can check your emailed announcements for details about the study and about how to sign up.
Good day, folks. I'm here to talk to you about the upcoming Coldest Night of the Year walk. It's upon us again, February 20th this year. And a lot of you participated last year, and then there's those that you didn't. Just bear with me, and hopefully I can explain a few things to you as well. What this event is all about this year, it's going to be a COVID-safe, family-friendly walk held, as I said, February 20th. And this helps raise monies for different charities, serving people experiencing homelessness, hurt, hunger. And this year, what's encouraged is a virtual walk. Participants will self-organize for self-walks or form a small team bubble, selecting their own safe walk route near home at a time convenient for them. Although it is encouraged to walk on the day of this national event. This year, different from last year, there's no registration fee. And thus, all the monies raised will stay in our region. I want to share with you the cause of the coldest night of the year. There's four main reasons why we participate in this walk. We walk through the cold and the dark to show the concern for those with no home, thus taking shelter in nooks and crannies. We walk for those whose days are a battle to house and feed their families, and whose nights are filled with fear and frustration. Big thing out there right now. Number three, we walk for those are driven from home by violence and abuse, and walk for those overwhelmed by isolation, guilt, and despair. And number four, we walk humbly, realizing that anyone can lose their feeling and their footing, and those lose everything else. Each step we walk helps someone get closer to safety, health, and home. Thus, as a team, these steps add up to raise funds for local organizations to aid in the transformation of people's lives. Having experienced homelessness myself, I've experienced the walk of charity organizations who welcomed me, gave me a spot for respite from the pavements of wandering, who nourished my body and soul with food in a manner that is dignified and safe. I found healing through counseling, mental health assistance, and other connections, all made possible by your donations. Just wrap this up quickly here. I managed, when I got set up with funding from different societies, there was all of a sudden a pathway to permanent housing and futures for myself. And I've met others that were in risk of losing their housing, shelter, and women, children, and youth fleeing violence at home and needed all safe shelter. And they were helped out by the CNOY, the Coldest Night of the Year Charity Partners. Go online, the email address and registration, everything like that is in our bulletin. Check it out. And go online, join the St. Stephen Stompers. And looking forward to you all being there. Take care.
Friends, go now wherever Christ calls you and proclaim the message God has given you. Wait in hope for God. Avoid becoming bound up in the business of this world, but live in readiness for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. And may God be your haven and your glory. May Christ Jesus give you courage for his mission. And may the Spirit embrace your soul in the intimacy of quiet with God. Go now in peace to love and serve in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
The only, we are all the same. In all the things.